Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I'm about to throw it over to Jerome Marshall. Hey, Jerome, are you ready to say hey?
Hello.
All right, so we just did an interview. I learned all about Jerome and his life and everything. That's the podcast before this one. And we did that because his film, Soft Spot, it is going to be in Season 7 of the Discover Indie Film TV series on Amazon Prime Video. So go to Prime Video, hopefully on a nice big TV. I'm not asking you to do 4K, although I'd recommend it. But have a nice big TV, open up the Prime Video app, type in Discover Indie Film, and enjoy. It's really nice. And please review it. Give it 5 stars if you can. That'd be nice. But I'm going to stop asking you to watch Jerome's film. You should listen to the podcast before this to learn all about it and him. This podcast is Jerome answering the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are 3 favorite films, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film for people to seek out. Yes, this is just a fun excuse to have fun talking about movies. So, you want to start with question 1 with 3 favorites?
3 favorites. I thought it was just 1 favorite, but I got... Okay, so this one, I'm gonna have a cop-out answer in that I put a lot of thought into this, and it is hard to pick your favorite movie, because I feel like... I mean, the boring answer would be, as far as most important movie, that would probably be the first Star Wars, right? But that's... I feel like 1,000 people could say that, and I have plenty of reasons that I'm sure other people have heard before why they like it. So I was like...
But I'm gonna jump in and add... Okay. I very rarely hear the first Star Wars. It's always Empire.
See, okay, that we can have. I won't eat up too much time. But I think my reasoning is, I think filmmaking wise, Empire is clearly the superior film. In that, oh, you disagree? I would love to know.
I gave Jerome a big head shake because I'm with him. I think what is now called A New Hope, but yeah. To me, it was Star Wars. I saw it in 1977 when I was 9 years old. That's a perfect film, yeah. And that's a perfect story, and everything else, the shit I don't like about the prequels is already happening in Empire.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, so, Empire is the prettiest Star Wars. I think it's the best directed. I think Irvin Kershner is more of a director's director than George Lucas. George Lucas is, I mean, we've all seen A New Hope, we've all seen the prequels, probably. He's very utilitarian. But I think what the magic that A New Hope has that none of the other Star Wars have, I would say, except for maybe Andor. I don't know if you've watched Andor, but I talk a lot of shit on Star Wars lately. I've been very disappointed by the sequels, blah, blah, blah. I legitimately think that Andor is the best Star Wars thing since Return of the Jedi. So that, anyway. But I think A New Hope is... exciting to me because the world, the universe actually feels really big. It feels full of possibility. There are all these things that aren't concrete yet that are referenced obliquely. And there's so much for your brain to take off with. Like Obi-Wan casually drops the concept of the Clone Wars in A New Hope. That was before the prequels. We had no, I don't think George knew either. It probably just sounded cool. And it does. But like the amount of like, shit that your brain can like run with that's just giving you in like random lines like that in Star Wars alone makes it my favorite just because it's just more exciting. Like there's nothing like it doesn't feel like homework or I'm having to reference something or like there's not a reference to a reference to a reference. Like everybody is new. Like even like nobody remembers the Force. Han Solo doesn't fucking believe in it. He's like, it's stupid. It's a dumb religion, you know, obviously like, whereas everything else, it's such a taken for granted fact. And it's so, I don't know, it becomes very.
The culture around Star Wars influenced the later films too much.
Yes. 100% agree. Yeah. And I think, yeah. So I guess like that's, you just have the purity of, and also it's just a fucking tight story. Like it, you just like that script is.
And he wasn't hugely successful yet, yep. so his wife cut it as tight as it should be.
Marsha.
And he had to listen to feedback and make it better. Mm-hmm. My understanding is this original screenplay for it, I needed a lot of work to un-Georgify it.
Yeah.
And again, the guy gave us one of the most beautiful things in the world, but it's hard not to insult him because he took this beautiful thing and apparently... I think Star Wars might have just been like all the stars aligning and it was just perfect luck that it came out so perfect.
Yeah, I think it's the result of teamwork and an artist community. Like, he got notes from Coppola, I believe. Like, I mean, and again, like, Marcia Lucas, who you mentioned earlier, like, she's, like, kind of, like, known as this almost the savior of the story. There were multiple producers, the dialogue passes, like, all that good stuff. And I think it was, I mean, in I don't know. It's just the benefit of you not being the most powerful person in the room. And so, like, it was collaborative. Whereas, I mean, and also, like, there's so much stuff that you can read about how by the time he got to the prequels, he was tired and he didn't want to do them, but felt this weird obligation to. And so, like, you can see that. I mean, you can even see in Return of the Jedi, there were actually supposed to be, I think, two other movies. And it was all about, like, that's why it was originally Revenge of the Jedi, because it was basically Luke hunting down Darth Vader for two movies, trying to kill him. So there's all sorts of stuff. But if I can give my cop out answer, that's not Star Wars' favorite movie. It's the favorite movie I've seen this year or two. Oh, the other two are, I finally saw Stalker by Tarkovsky. It's been recommended to me for years and years and years and years. And I finally, I was talking about something I'm working on, and they were like, oh, you should probably watch Stalker. And I was like, oh no. And I watched it, and basically Stalker was everything I wanted, almost everything I wanted Annihilation to be, the movie. So I would say Stalker, and then I didn't hear anybody, have you heard of After Yang?
No.
I can't remember if it came out technically at the end of last year, at the beginning of this one, but it's a very quiet, very, 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 very deliberately paced sci-fi movie that's all about, like, artificial intelligence and the value of I guess artificial life and that stuff. But it's like, it's very quiet. Colin Farrell's awesome in it. It's really well, like, art designed. And it's, I don't know, I wasn't high when I watched it, but I want to rewatch it high just because it's like, it's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful quiet. It's like if you made the sounds of a wind chime into a movie, I guess, like, the best way.
So say the title again?
After Yang.
After Yang.
Yeah.
That sounds, I'm definitely,
yeah.
I might get to watch a movie or two this year. And although I'm going to start reading again too. All right. So those are your films.
Yeah.
Good. By the way, I'm aware that you and I could discuss Star Wars now for about 3 hours.
Yeah, so I was like, we could do a Star Wars specific episode.
Because I think we're both people who love it and resent it. What it could have been and resent it for what it is.
Yes.
But I will say I'm a Rogue One guy.
Oh, well, if you like Rogue One, you will love Andor.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I think Rogue One is the best thing since Star Wars A New Hope, actually.
That was my opinion, too, before Andor. But because Andor is just, because Tony Gilroy came in and essentially, as far as my understanding from listening to interviews and stuff, he came in and essentially somehow managed to save Rogue One. And so Andor is just Rogue One without him having to do any cleanup. It's just like his full, you know, balls to the wall, like a take, because it's all about, it's about fascism and the fomenting revolution and, like, what that looks like. And so it's very, it captures for me the feeling of A New Hope, because it's, the world feels open. It takes itself seriously. Nothing, like, it's not really, like, it doesn't have, like, that wink, wink, nudge, nudge of so much of the later Star Wars. So I keep talking about Andor, but it's a very exciting show.
I haven't watched it yet, but I will. I promise. All right. So now question number two is a film that is underrated.
Okay, so this one was tough for me. I found it much easier to think of overrated, because I was thinking about the definition of underrated, whereas you would have to be a widely watched thing, right, that people have decided was less than good, and I disagree with that. And I couldn't actually think of a true example, so I went with the closest I could, which is The Mist, with the 2007 or 8 Frank Darabont movie, which I watched in the past couple years. I know, and I chose it for underrated because I personally underrated it real, real hard. I'd seen, like, clips from it, like, when it came out, and I thought it was, like, hokey-ass shit and whatever. And I finally, like, after my friend recommending it, I sat down and I was like, I was completely wrong. Like, it has some, like, I mean, Frank Darabont directed it, so it has kind of, like, some 90s aesthetic issues that, but it, have you seen it?
No.
You need to see it because the end alone, like, it's, It's really good. I won't spoil it, but it's an exciting, yeah, it's really good. And I also love Tom Jane, and it's like the most, some of the more cosmic horror stuff that I think Stephen King might have written. I'm also not a King scholar, so I could be very wrong there. But yeah, I would say The Mist. I don't hear it too, like, outside of maybe horror circles. I don't hear it talked about much. It seems kind of, you know, just went by unnoticed. So I would say The Mist.
Fair enough. All right. Well, you already set up some expectation for overrated.
Yeah. I think I want to start with, can I do more than one? We don't have to do, but I can.
I use this joke too much, but I'm not wearing a black and white striped shirt with a whistle. There's no referee.
Okay.
You can rattle off five if you want, but I'm not going to like delete it.
The first one that comes to mind, is the movie X, which came out this year. It got really hyped up. I like Ty West. He's a pretty decent creator. God, that's Field of Duty. He's a great creator. So I think but my expectations might have been a little high going in. Like, the aesthetic is great, and he's obviously a good director, and his shot taste is good, but it didn't feel like there was a story or a movie. And I was pretty surprised because everybody was so excited about it, and they were like, wow, it's a really new take on horror. And it just kind of was like, it, to me, felt like a half thought, especially with when it eventually devolves into kind of slashery horror towards the end. And it didn't really, I mean, maybe I missed it, but it didn't feel like it commented much on the stuff, the building blocks it was using, as far as like the porn, the people that were in it, the exploitation or whatever. It didn't really have any commentary at all on porn versus conservatism, or the people that were in it, and like how it was affecting their lives, or like even how they got there or whatever. It just kind of, like, I don't know. It felt like it was the thing it was trying to comment on, which I also thought was interesting because I saw Pearl, which is also Ty West, and he wrote it with Mia Goth. I think during a hiatus during the filming of X, and Pearl is so much better, so much better. It felt like a complete thought. There was a whole narrative, and it's even, Pearl is based off of a character that's in X. So, yeah, I was so confused that everybody was, and usually I try to be nicer to, again, like we talk about indie films and stuff, or does that still count as indie?
It must. I don't know. I would have to look it up. I'm not too familiar with it, to be honest.
It might have been an A24, so I don't know if that still counts, but I don't know. But I would say, yeah. Have you seen X? Okay,
I haven't. Because, like I said, I don't see enough films away from the festival anymore.
Okay, and then, let's see. I had to... I'm trying to which do you think sounds more interesting? You've seen Joker, I assume, because I have. That's another one. I don't understand why that was. It was good, and it was pretty, and it was well done. But as far as like a movie that to get excited about, I didn't get it. It felt.
I'm with you 100%. I thought it was. I mean, it's all about perspective, right? Like, this overrated, underrated thing is all about, you know, if Joker had come out and been like, just another comic book movie. And then, like, we could sit down and go, you know what? It was actually a little more interesting than the average one. But because it came out and got some Oscar talk, and I mean, yes, his performance was amazing.
Sure, yeah.
But the film itself, actually, Todd Phillips makes amazing comedies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not an amazing film at all.
Yeah, it was like really... God, I'm trying to think of the right word. It was capable. Like, it didn't, like, there were no, like, major missteps or, like, and any issues that I could think of, probably, like, nitpicky, but it just, like, the overall outcome didn't blow me away.
Total lack of greatness. Now, that makes me sound like a pure player-hating asshole, and I apologize.
Yeah.
Because that's what I am in this moment.
Well, sure, you have to. I mean, if we weren't, because, like, you could also say, I truly mean this. If you love Joker, I do not, like, that's great. I do not want to take that away from you. I do not have any, that doesn't affect my opinion of you as a person at all. It shouldn't. It doesn't. I just, I just don't get it. Like, it didn't, whatever greatness there for you. Yeah. But if you just say that for everything, then what's the point of listening? What's the point of having the conversation? So it's the balance.
Yeah. But the only reason Joker is being called overrated is because it got extra hoopla that it didn't deserve, or the our culture elevated it higher than it deserves. And I don't think that elevation will last either.
No. Yeah. And it's the same thing as it's fancy pizza. You know, I think people were excited that maybe this pizza was fancier than they'd ever seen or they'd experienced personally. And so but it's still a pizza, you know, it's not, well, gosh, that might be dangerous waters there. People have intense opinions on pizza, but you know, it's at the end of the day, does pizza still count as fast food? Is that a whole debate? But it's still like there are up higher echelons of films out there and food. Ooh,
fair enough. Oh, do you have another overrated, or are we good?
I have one. I have one more. If
I'm listening,
I do a Titan or Titan. I'm not sure the French movie. God, I was so excited for that movie going in. I love body horror. It was told, I was like, they were like, it's going to blow your mind kind of stuff. And again, it felt like it had interesting ideas, but it felt like three or four different movies smashed into one, and not in a way where the themes or visuals built off each other. For a movie that was supposed to be body horror, there was kind of not very much, and not in a way where I'm like, it has to be body horror all the time, go, go, go. But the big finale of body horror ended up being pretty tame, I thought, especially one, which is one of my favorite. I mean, if you use it correctly, childbirth is really interesting and can be really scary for everybody involved. You know, even just being the person watching the person go through that, I don't know. It felt like for a movie that was there, everybody was like an exciting new voice, and like she has a grip on. I don't know. I thought the storytelling felt a little flat, and I didn't feel that. I guess the disparate parts of the film. I didn't think the Gestalt or whatever added up to something that was, again, it's the same thing as the Joker, but I would take the swings of Titan. Made any day over the Joker. I think I would watch a bunch of movies like Titane any day over another Joker, personally.
Amusingly, I feel like I can trust your opinions more than most based on what we've discussed. Like, just our Star Wars alignment is unusual to me. It's unusual to me to talk to someone who ranks them the same way I would. And a lot of people have recommended, I think it's Titan, but whatever.
I don't
speak. A lot of people recommended it to me, and I'm like, I got it on my list to watch. Yeah. And I'm like, oh shit, I might end up being aberrant like you and not thinking it's brilliant.
I would definitely say it's worth watching.
But I think I'm more eager to watch The Worst Person in the World.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet, but that, I mean, A, Mads Mikkelsen. No, that's sorry, that I'm thinking of. Another, it's not Swedish, is it? Or
I think it is. It's the funny.
I get them confused.
I should not admit this while I'm recording, but sometimes I can't twist my wife's arm into watching something with subtitles, and I tend to watch everything with her.
Well, I think that's a whole podcast concept in and of itself, is the viewing sacrifices that both people in the relationship make to. Because I assume, you know, most couples probably do most of their TV watching together, and then you end up you always go with the lowest common denominator unless the other person's in a really giving mood. So
I got one friend, he watches TV while his wife watches TV on her iPod with AirBuds or whatever. And I'm like, iPad. And I'm like, you guys don't watch the same shows? He's like, no. And I'm like, God, I don't watch a show if my partner doesn't want to watch it too.
And it's not like, it's not a boo-hoo or thing. Like, I like watching TV with Ella, you know, my partner, and it's, you know, and sometimes you're like, oh, I wish they were as into this as I am. But I do think it's nice to have the shared experience with someone immediately for most things.
The bone she throws me is Doctor Who.
See, I have tried multiple times to get into Doctor Who. I've never been able to do it. I don't know what the disconnect is. What do you like? What if? Because I know like there's the angel statue ones that I couldn't. Yeah, I don't know. What would be a good arc to start? Because I will in earnest give it another shot.
I mean, you kind of just have to start with season one of when they brought it back and just go through it.
Is that the David Tennant?
The guy before David Tennant, whose name is escaping me. The only one who ever did it. Well, I think someone else did just one season. I think Paul McGann's last season. Because I grew up, I think maybe I love it because I grew up on the Tom Baker Doctor Who of the 70s as a kid. And it was just so imaginative and cool. And so I just love, although they've gotten fancier, I love lo-fi sci-fi. And I just love, I'm a fucking pussy. I don't mean to use that term. I am just emotional. I watch Doctor Who and I get a little weepy when like something cool happens.
Yeah.
And I just loved, oh my God, my fucking memory. But the most recent Doctor Who, she was wonderful. I loved.
Oh my God, she was really great, and
I know her name all the time, and I don't know it in this moment.
No, she's great,
and I loved that. There was a female Doctor Who, and I'm just about it, but it could just be because I grew up on it.
I mean, I think that's valid in of its own, like right, like it's okay to like stuff just because you like it. I think, like I think that's important. Like it's great when we all have differing opinions and blah, blah, blah. But
and I mean, what can I say? It's the attitude. It's like facing huge armies of robots who want to take out the Earth. And you're like, well, I'm going to throw in a funny little quip at a robot.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about that British sci-fi vibe. What can I say? Yeah. I love it. So I guess we have one more question for you, which is a lesser known film to seek out.
Well, okay, so I was going to... Oh, okay, no. After Yang, definitely in there. I mentioned that one previously. But I will say there are... I'll do two. It's on Amazon Prime, I do believe. Butt Boy is the film. It is...
I've heard of it, and I've heard it's good.
It is... I always like to say, for the concept of the film, it is better than it has any right to be. And like, it is... So without spoiling anything, but it's a neo-noir about... told from the perspective of a detective and a serial killer, and the detective is trying to catch the serial killer who kills people by sucking them up his butt. And it sounds so bad. And I only watched the movie because I saw a link to the trailer and I was like, this is probably going to be absolutely stupid. It'll be fun. And the trailer actually looked good. It's very well shot. It's pretty damn well directed. It takes itself just the right amount of serious. It knows what it is. I 100% recommend it. It's not going to be for everyone, but I definitely think a fair amount of people will like Butt Boy. And then the other one is Psycho Gorman, which also on Amazon. Have you heard of The Void? The movie The Void.
I can't pinpoint it.
Okay, that's like a cosmic body horror movie that came. I thought it was all right, but the director who did that one did the Psycho Gorman. It's basically like it's in the style of like '90s Power Ranger, like costumes or whatever. Like it's kind of the big thing, but the concept is there's like this outer world powerful being that is unlocked by like these two kind of precocious 10-year-old kids, and then they have control over him, and he's like constantly talking about how he's going to eviscerate them or whatever, but they're like essentially his bitch, or he is their bitch, or
so it's like if two kids on Earth who are around 10 years old and Thanos is their puppet.
Pretty much, yeah. It's ungodly power and control. It's got a lot of like kind of schlocky gore. It's really fun. It's like I wouldn't say it's a horror comedy. It's just kind of like a dark comedy. And very fun. Definitely a good movie to watch high.
I love dark comedy, and there's not enough of it. So that's on my list. All right. Well, I think we're done. So let's wrap it up. Jerome Marshall does not do social media, so you cannot go follow him, which is fine. But in the show notes, if you check the show notes, he might be creating like, you know, a social media presence for his most recent film, which right now, I don't think you've told me the title.
It's currently titled Geometric Sacrament.
Geometric Sacrament, you can probably get at Geometric Sacrament.
Yeah, that one might be available, yeah.
You might be able to get it, which already makes you a better filmmaker than most.
I have a thing
with
titles.
By the way, I'll hop on my soapbox for 3 seconds and say, unique titles are huge. Huge.
Yeah, there's a whole rant that, must have a rant. But that, yeah, I have strong beliefs on of the same.
I have pulled filmmakers aside at the festival and said, your film is so good, and it deserves a better title than... And now, this is not the title I was saying, because I don't want to out this filmmaker. But if I told you how many ride shares were submitted over the last 4 years...
Oh, no.
So, like, he wasn't using ride share. He was using something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, just give your film a title that separates it from the crowd. That's all I got to say, people.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in... It's like, it doesn't have to be long or whatever. It can be as long or short as it needs to be. It's just... If you just do the blank, and blank is a noun that people have 1,000 associations with already, you're not going to... I don't know. It's like, I want to... A title, like, makes me try to imagine what the story is. And if your movie is called The Spirit or The Ghost, there's nothing there. I don't care, you know?
I'll tell you the title when we stop recording. All right, so... I already said you can follow Jerome's, but actually Geometric Sacrament might have Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and TikTok. Who knows what it'll have? But if it does, it'll be in the show notes, I promise. In the meantime, let me wrap this up by mentioning that Discover Indie Film is a podcast where I interview people I meet on the festival circuit, the great filmmakers I meet and who make stuff I like. And a TV series is born out of it, and Jerome's film, Soft Spot, it's a great sci-fi / horror short that is in the Discover Indie Film TV series on Amazon Prime Video. Just go to Prime Video, type in Discover Indie Film into the search field, and enjoy quality short films that were handpicked from the festival circuit. If you want to learn more about the podcast or the TV series, discoverindiefilm.com is the home, and @DIFWINS is the social media home. And did I mention Sherman Oaks Film Festival? Soft Spot was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2020 when we were not allowed to leave home.
No.
So, but were you at that outdoor mixer we did?
No,
you were working.
That was working, yeah.
Yeah.
Doing a remote job.
We weren't allowed outside, but this is how intense COVID was in November of 2020. We had an outdoor mixer and we wore masks outside.
Yeah.
Because there was not even any vaccine yet. So anyway, Sherman Oaks Film Festival had Soft Spot in it. Great film. So the Sherman Oaks Film Festival happens every November. You can learn more at ShermanOaksFF.com, and it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. The sister festival to Sherman Oaks Film Festival is Film Invasion Los Angeles. You can learn more at FilmInvasionLA.com or at FilmInvasionLA. And if you can use drugs responsibly, I recommend you go to THCCinema.com or at THCCinema, because, you know, you have to be responsible. But if you are, then, you know, music and film, the media arts are pretty well enhanced,
yep,
by certain chemicals.
Amplified.
You know, I've never wanted to get drunk and listen to music, but oh my God, you know, like...
Oh my, yeah.
I still, if I'm high and like if the wife falls asleep, sometimes I'll like sneak into my room. I still have good speakers in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to that last Bowie album, and like the soundscapes just blow my brain.
Dude, you know what's funny is just yesterday someone texted me telling me like they live in a state where it's not legal, and they were telling me how much they missed it. They had to start being really good because their job was going to start drug testing them, so they can't do it. And they were just like, man, I really miss getting high and listening to music. And I was like, wow, I did not realize I was taking that for granted, but not anymore.
Not anymore. We live in a new world. All right. Well, Jerome Marshall, thank you for coming by. And
thank you for having me.
Hanging out and chatting about film. And thank you, everyone, for listening.